from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, we're talking about Pope Francis's new apostolic exhortation, The Joy of Love. How will it affect the church? Jeanette DiMello and Rome correspondent Edward Penton discuss church leaders' answers to that question. Also, Jeanette and Register senior editor Joan Desmond highlight what pastors are saying about the document. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DiMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest today, Edward Penton, is the Register's Rome correspondent. Edward began reporting on the Pope and the Vatican with Vatican Radio before joining the Register team more than 10 years ago. He has also reported for a number of other publications, including Newsweek, Newsmax, and the Catholic Herald.
Edward, it's always good to have you back on Register Radio. It's been a week since Pope Francis released his apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. But most of our readers have probably heard of this, the most controversial parts of this document, probably from the secular news or other interests. But I wanted to give them a chance to hear from you, who've been working on this for quite some time, about the whole document. And you did a great job summarizing it in print when it first came out for ncregister.com. Could you summarize it now for us, what the document's highlights are?
Sure. It's a long document, first of all, and it covers all the complexities of family life today and all of the challenges, which are many, of course, especially in the West. And so it tries to tackle those through nine chapters. And it does it, first of all, by sort of outlining the scripture and the word of God as a source of comfort to families. Mm-hmm. And then goes on to talk about the challenges facing the family. And it devotes a large section to that. Obviously, there's a lot to cover. And there's a whole range of things that are covered, from loneliness and pornography to human trafficking and dire poverty and the crisis of fatherhood and things like that. Those are all in there. And it tries to show those up as obviously the things that the church has to be aware of in its pastoral care. Now, obviously, just to recap, this is a document which is the fruit of the two synods on the family, which right. took place in 2014 and 2015. And so it's really aimed at sort of consolidating all that was said at those meetings and to try and bring them into a sort of a cohesive whole. And I think it does that in very effective way in many ways, and it does really give a sort of a manual, really, for pastors and for families on how to deal with these challenges. And it also has a long exposition, if you like, of the sort of the meaning of love within the family and within marriage in chapters 3 and 4, which Cardinal Christoph Schönborn, who presented it last week, was very keen that people read chapter 4. But of course, the most controversial chapter, the one which many media picked up on, was chapter 8, mm-hmm. where it talks really about the problems, the weaknesses, and how to deal with those problems within the family, and particularly those issues where, you know, people are suffering from really in mortal sin, that we would say, living in cohabitation or as divorced and remarried couples. And it's trying to deal with those in a different way to how the church has done in the past. And that's caused a bit of concern, well, considerable concern in different quarters within the church.
Sure.
And that's what's made the headlines outside it.
Of course. And there are two different types of interpretations. And I think we'll get into more of that discussion just shortly here. You know, you mentioned some of the things it touches upon and the way it really tries to build up love, and especially family love and married love. The document does affirm that the church is teaching on a number of issues that some during the synodal process were hoping might be challenged. And of course, most people who follow the church know that those things were not going to be tampered with. But those include a confirmation or an affirmation of the church's teaching in Humanae Vitae on contraception. Mm. It includes the church's teaching about homosexual relations, and that is not at all equivalent to marriage. So there are a number of things in the document, I think, that would not surprise anyone in the church, but maybe surprise some outside of the church, thinking that there may be changes. I have not gotten to read the entire document. Looking forward to looking at the parts that deal with marriage prep, because I heard that that's a real gift in this document.
So. Yes, that's right. Yes, the marriage preparation, I've heard too, it's been well received, especially by moral theologians, which is a good thing. And so that's very helpful. But as you say, mm-hmm. it is very strong in speaking out against contraception. And especially ideological colonization in the form of contraception, sterilization, mm-hmm. and abortion. These are very strong condemnations of those in the document. And as you say, it rules out any kind of possibility of same-sex marriage, saying it cannot in any way be made analogous to proper marriage or real marriage. And so it's very strong on those. But yes, I think on the whole, on those issues, it's been very positive, and I think that's been largely welcomed, especially as during the first synod, people may remember that the issue of homosexuality was pretty prominent
right.
in that.
Right.
But it's been sort of ruled out in the apostolic exhortation.
Right, and this is the natural course that the church takes in discussing these kind of things. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Edward Penton, our Vatican, our Rome correspondent. We're talking about the latest apostolic exhortation from Pope Francis on the joy of love. Now, Edward, I think we should talk a little more about what has caused some concern, and not just controversy in the sense that secular media is thinking it says this or that, but there are some within the church who are interpreting Chapter 8 in different ways. And I think it's good for us to understand how to read Chapter 8 and how to discern what is being said there. So what have you heard in the course of your reporting about Chapter 8?
Well, I think it's important to point out what the Pope is trying to do in Chapter 8. What he's trying to do really is to find a way of pastoring to people in very complex situations and really dealing with them where they are, rather than, as he says, replacing conscience. He wants to form consciences to deal with these issues. And he's a very strong proponent of the fact that, you know, lots of people don't know the Church's teaching. They don't know much about morality. And there needs to be a sort of gradual step for them to mm-hmm. try and learn what is good, what is the right way. So that's sort of his approach. Now, that's causing a certain amount of debate and concern among moral theologians, because mm-hmm. they say that you know, the Church's moral teaching is objective, it never changes, and it has to be applied, obviously, in varying ways depending on the person, but it has to be applied with that moral teaching never changing. So if adultery is adultery, it always is adultery. You can't change that. And so those, for example, those who are remarried divorcees, who are living together and engaging in sexual relations, that is an adulterous relationship. Now, that is being construed as not always the case, and that some of those couples can receive Holy Communion. And that's been a view that Cardinal Casper has held, and which he thinks the door is opened in this document towards allowing such couples to receive Holy mm-hmm. Communion. So this is a concern to people that the moral teachings of the Church aren't as crystal clear in this document as perhaps they were in previous papal documents of this kind. And so there is this worry that moral teachings are becoming rather subjective. They're not as objective as they were before. Due to the way that this document can be opened up to interpretation. They say that it's ambiguous, that the words aren't clear, and so the interpretive, those who want to interpret it malevolently or differently, can do so and use words within the document to justify them. So this is a considerable concern, and it's one which is being debated at the moment.
Sure. Now, you had an opportunity to be at a conference last weekend. It was in outside of Vienna, Austria. It was hosted by Cardinal Christoph Schönborn, who is the Archbishop of Vienna. And you had a chance to speak with him. This conference was on marriage and family. It was able to discuss this document. And what did Cardinal Schönborn have to say? He was one of the presenters, main presenters of the document at the Vatican's press conference. So how did he handle some of those objections or those concerns that have been raised?
Yes. Well, his general line is that this document is very much in continuity with Pope John Paul's teachings on the family, particularly his apostolic exhortation on the family, Familiaris Consortio, which was written in 1981. He says it's a development of that. And there's no change in church teaching, but there is a change in practice to cater for today's problems and challenges within the family. That was his main point. But he was very keen to point out, in contrast to the presentation he gave the day before the Vatican, that this really needs to be opened up to scrutiny and to theological discussion. He was a little more cautious about it, and he was keen to say, because it was a group of academics in Austria at an institute which he helped found, that he wants to see this rigorously debated and discussed. So that was his main point there. But he's very enthusiastic about it, and he feels that it's a crucial document for today's families, which are obviously going through very serious problems and threats, really, from secular society. So he sees it as a good way to help families through that.
Now, we also had in the register, and thanks to some of your requests, I think, a commentary by Cardinal Raymond Burke. This commentary, I think, put into context for those who might react strongly on one side or the other, those who might say, oh, this is a big change for the church, or those who might fear that this is a problematic change for the church. I think Cardinal Burke put into context those two opinions. Can you summarize what Cardinal Burke was saying in his commentary?
Yes, well, his main point is that it's obviously there is some good in the document, but it, like the moral theologians, he's concerned that there are some errors in it, and that is problematic. And he's very keen to point out, though, that as the Pope said himself, that this document is not a magisterial act. It's really just a document to provide advice and counsel to pastors on how to deal with today's situation. So he's not... he's trying to really say that it's an important document, but it's not as important as a magisterial document. Also, because it has to be read in the light of the Church's constant teaching on the family, and he says that as that doesn't always match, you can't really call this a magisterial document. But he's also keen in his response to it to point out, as especially regarding the most contentious point on divorce and remarried couples, that indissoluble bond must remain and it mustn't be threatened, and that those who are divorced and remarried but remarry, there is a way of living that in a way which is consistent with the gospel and is in a way a very heroic way. And he says that we're all called to be heroic in fulfilling the teachings of the gospel, or at least trying to. And so he's very keen to point that out and uphold that the indissoluble nature of marriage and the beauty of marriage, and especially within that context of divorced and remarried couples. So that was essentially his point. But he does have reservations about it, as quite a few people do. But he's very keen to not let it cause division, which I think some people he's worried that some commenters are perhaps stirring it up. In a detrimental way, not to say that they're wrong, but he's worried that there is a certain division being stirred up, not necessarily by them, but just by the situation. And sure. I think he wants to make sure that that doesn't happen. And he's very keen to preserve the unity and especially to protect the Petrine office from being seen as any less in authority than it really is.
Yes, he makes that very clear in his piece on ncregister.com, Amoris Laetitia and the Constant Teaching and Practice of the Church. That's the title of Cardinal Burke's article there. It does make very clear the respect that's owed to the Pope, the reception that this should have in keeping with the whole doctrine and discipline of the church. So it's a great one to read. Edward, thank you so much for spending time with us today, for summarizing that and this important document from Pope Francis. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Seth.
When we return, we'll continue our discussion about the Pope's new document, The Joy of Love, with the Register senior editor, Joan Desmond. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register, which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Joan Frawley Desmond, is the Register's senior editor. She's an award-winning journalist, widely published in Catholic, ecumenical, and secular media. Joan is a graduate of the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies of Marriage and Family.
Joan, it's always good to have you on Register Radio. We're here again talking about a very important topic that's been a part of Register coverage for a couple years now because it relates to the Synod on Marriage and Family. And, of course, it's the apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, which Pope Francis put out last week. The Register's been covering this in many aspects, but you were assigned to find out how bishops and pastors were responding to the document. And first of all, let's talk about the bishops. Who have you heard from, and what have they been saying?
Thanks, Jeanette. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Well, I've spoken thus far with Archbishop Kurtz, who's the president of the Bishops' Conference. He's from Louisville, Cardinal Wuerl from Washington, and Archbishop Corleone from San Francisco. So a good cross-section. All of them in different ways have played a big role dealing with marriage and family issues.
Right.
Cardinal Wuerl has played a central role in the synodal process. Archbishop Kurtz, of course, was one of the delegates who went to Rome for the synod. And Archbishop Corleone has dealt with a number of marriage-related issues and has another important position in the conference. So it's good to get their point of view. I think the general view is that while whatever controversies may be going on or may be ongoing, that the U.S. bishops see this in a very positive light. There may be some caution about how it could be used by others to promote a variety of different agendas, but mm-hmm. I think at this point they're focusing on the positives, which are numerous. In particular, I think issues like marriage prep, they see that sections of the exhortation focusing on that subject to be of great interest. I think everyone is in agreement that marriage prep remains weak, though the conference has done a lot at the national level. So that's one key issue that I heard over and over again.
Sure, sure. You know, Archbishop Kurtz is, his voice is, he's always so good at giving all of these things that make controversy a very positive approach. He sees the hope in it. What did he have to say about the whole vision, I guess, of what Pope Francis is trying to do here?
I think he's just very excited about it. I think he sees it in a very positive light. All the bishops really spoke about the culture of encounter and accompaniment, and mm-hmm. this is something that the Holy Father has emphasized in so many different ways with those on the margins, whether out of poverty or spiritual alienation. And this is another dimension of that, and, of course, coming appropriately in the year of mercy. So Archbishop Kurtz put a lot of emphasis on that, as he has in the past, as someone with a social work background.
Right.
But, I, you know, so it was exciting. I think Cardinal Wuerl felt the most important part was in the middle of a culture that has drifted so far away, as the Holy Father himself pointed out, from sort of any respect for the permanence and fidelity of marriage, that the joy of the family presented in this document is just seen in a very, very strong way.
Mm-hmm. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Joan Desmond, and we're talking about the Pope's exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. So I spent, the first part of this show talking with Edward Penton, and we gave a good summary of the document. He gave a good summary of the document. But we also talked about some of the document that has caused controversy. It's natural that people would look at Chapter 8, which deals with divorce and remarried, with either, I guess, skepticism, or for some, with taking it and running with an agenda that might have been preconceived. We talked a little about that in that show, and I presume that you've probably talked with these bishops about that section as well. What did they have to say about the question of divorce and remarriage, and what, you know, how does this document affect the church in that regard?
I think they're very cautious about that, and if you notice, all the statements sort of don't get into the weeds too much on divorce and remarriage. What I can say is Cardinal Wuerl said he had met with some priests recently and there would be more discussion, and they're all interested in talking in more detail. I think for the most part, he said, though, clearly emphasizing that without changing church teaching, that they all saw a need for more accompaniment or a need for more inspiration on how to accompany people. And that they are getting more interest from people who might suddenly realize that the church's teaching may not even be what they thought it was. You mentioned, for example, pastors are having people come to them who are just divorced and were not even remarried, who thought they had been excommunicated. So this whole area has also exposed a broad range of confusion and you know, poor education on this topic. I can't tell you an interesting conversation I had with Archbishop Corleone. I spoke with him about some of the ambiguity in the document and the fact that one senior Jesuit, Father Spadaro, in Rome, the editor of that important Italian Catholic publication published by the Order, Spadaro had suggested that perhaps the exhortation was the final step to really paving the way to kind of setting aside obstacles for divorced and remarried people, at least in some situations, to receive the Eucharist. And I asked Archbishop Corleone what he thought of that, and while he hadn't read the article and didn't want to comment on it, he said the fact that that kind of article is out there probably does reflect questions about some ambiguous language.
Mm-hmm.
But he very interestingly also said, you know, it was really important to look more carefully at the connection between doctrine and discipline. And he, you know, categorically disagreed with the notion that the two could be separated. On the other hand, he also said that some disciplines were more integral and more necessary to retain than others without undermining doctrine. So he offered a nuanced point of view, which I thought was interesting. And I think he was in many ways, like many of the church leaders, quite encouraged by just having the discussion and getting so much interest from a lot of Catholics on this.
Well, I think, you know, what you said about the interest in them hearing from more Catholics who have been divorced and in some cases have remarried, hearing from them and getting them into the conversation is, I think, precisely what the Pope is asking for. And while there's ambiguity, Cardinal Burke has said that, you know, because of that ambiguity, we have to take this document as a part of all of the teaching and apply it within the whole teaching of the church. And it's not doing something new. What it may be doing is stirring up many more questions for people in the pew and urging pastors to find ways of reaching people. So that is what Cardinal Burke has said, and it sounds very similar to what Archbishop Corleone said.
Generally, Jeanette, you know, what we're seeing is, I think, a very cautious approach to any elements that could stir confusion. Mm-hmm. And I, in my conversations, we're also speaking with church leaders about the connection between recent annulment reforms and the Holy Father's encouragement of this culture of accompaniment. And they were very cautious on that as well. While some changes have already happened, such as the dropping of the automatic appeal for annulments, mm-hmm. other things are still really being very carefully evaluated, given that the U.S. churches already have a pretty strong annulment system, which is not the case everywhere, or tribunal system is possibly the better word. So I think caution is in order. A big emphasis by Archbishop Worrell, Cardinal Worrell, Archbishop Kurtz, and others on, you know, just careful, patient reading of a very long document. And I think they'll be back to us down the road. And in the meanwhile, I think we've got a lot to dig into.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Joan Desmond, and we're talking about the Pope's exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. We do have a lot to dig into, and we're just about out of time. We don't really have much time, but I know you've been talking to pastors as well, and I just want to tease that for our listeners. You have been talking to pastors who have been telling you how they're going to seek to incorporate this, how they've read the document and what they've learned from it. We don't have time to get into that article, but I absolutely want to encourage our readers to look for Joan's article on pastors and how they are approaching Amoris Laetitiae, and because it's our pastors who really have to put this into effect. And I encourage our listeners also to speak to their pastors about the document and what they are taking from it. I think that's an important step for each and every one of us. Joan, thanks so much for being with us on Register Radio.
It's always a pleasure, Jeanette.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen or download the show. Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.